I came to Unitarian Universalism about 25 years ago, and I've been a member of this church for that long. But the way I got started here was because my 10-year-old son came home from school one day and said, "Mom, don't you think it's about time we went to church?" And I was raised Catholic, and I had left that quite a while earlier. But I thought, well, maybe it is time. And I remembered from 10 or 15 years before hearing a friend from Boston or somebody I met from Boston talking about the Unitarian Church. And I thought, I'll check that out. Looked in the Yellow Pages, found it, and have been here ever since. My son went to RE here, and he no longer comes, but it's been my home ever since, and I've made lifelong friends being here. Also, I lead the painting class that meets on Wednesday nights from 7 to 9:30, and when we talk about our principles, one of them is that we believe in a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. And through that, or when thinking of that principle, I think about the art class and how some of us find truth through art. And it's just an absolute joy for me to help other people experience that. And I get to share in their joy of creating. And it's meant the world to me, and I've made lifelong friends there. And we paint together. It's very relaxed. I help them when they need it. Most of them don't need much help anymore. We are starting Wednesday night, so everybody's welcome to come try it out. Talk to me after the service.
So I, my wife and I hadn't really been in a church in quite a while, and didn't really feel like we needed to be back in a church setting. But anyway, my wife and my son, my 20-year-old son, actually came to a Sunday service and really enjoyed it. I felt it was a very open-minded group of people and very diverse and sort of what we were looking for. And they came back and said, "Brett, you need to come, you know, the next time we go on Sunday." And I did, and I felt the same way. Was raised Catholic, which is very, you know, strict kind of religion, and this was much more relaxed, not very strict, open-minded, progressive, and it was really what we were looking for. So that's how we wound up here.
One of the things that, as we were going through our questions on Wednesday and just kind of reviewing our thoughts, was that our own questioning, especially those of us that were Catholic or Baptist or come from very strong kind of ritualized type of service orders, is how do we define or seek to define, or do we need to define our own spirituality in absence of that rigid dogma, right, that we had been taught to follow, and that was indeed the definition of faith and spirituality. And in the quest of finding what does spirituality and what does you mean to us, when it's your own quest and that with others that you're looking for shared meaning. And so that was really led to some really interesting talk on Wednesday in preparation for this. And so I'm curious as to what components of adult enrichment are especially significant in deepening your connection to Universalist Unitarianism and to others, looking at when we don't have those strict protocols that many of us have actually had to flee from, right, and find some safer places to gather. What components of coming together with others in context of a congregation and faith, how does that deepen your own connection to your faith and UU in particular?
That was a big question for me when we walked away from the Protestant faith. What does it mean to be a spiritual person when you don't have the I won't say dogma of a liberal Baptist church, but the sort of well-described issues that make you a Christian spiritual person. So when I walked away from that, I had lots of questions about how can I be spiritual when I have walked away from most of the tenets of the Bible. And I'm still finding my way with that. It's so much easier to be spiritual when I've got somebody to tell me what I should do, a book that tells me how I should believe. So I'm still walking that path, and I have found a lot of guidelines in Circle of Women, in the small groups that I've attended, and just being with people of like mind. And I'm not sure if I could have found my way to where I am without UU.
The group that I'm part of meets on Sundays at 9, and we discuss a variety of different... We read different books, and we discuss the books that we read. Right now, we are reading a book called Silent Spring by Rachel Carson, which deals with the environment and how we are impacting the environment with chemicals and poison. And the environment has been something that was my, you know, not going to church, my way of interacting with the spiritual side of myself was to go out and camp and hike and interact with nature. So this is kind of interesting to be discussing this book with people that are knowledgeable and open-minded, and so that's my way of interacting with the spiritual side.
For me, I've taken a number of courses over my years here, and one that I remember I took from our minister a few years back was called Building Your Own Theology. And I learned a lot about myself and what how I experienced spirituality. I mean, I really at the time thought I considered myself to be an atheist. And so we had to write our spiritual autobiography in this course. And in writing that spiritual autobiography, I realized I really had always had a spiritual life. And that I experienced, if you want to call it God or my higher power or, you know, however you want to name it, I experienced it through nature and always had. As a little child, I spent a lot of time sitting in trees and in just enjoying nature. I was a big tree climber, and I still see when I'm walking in the woods, I see, oh, that makes a good tree for climbing. But so I realized a lot about myself at the time, and so I took that course, and I've taken other ones. And as far as the art class, you know, just painting and expressing ourselves through painting and supporting each other, it ends up being a support group after a while because we get to know each other and we have quiet conversations, sometimes with a glass of wine. And it, you know, we all grow. We learn about each other, we support each other, and it's been one of the best experiences of my life. I was also involved in a women's circle years back when I wasn't working full-time on Tuesday mornings, and I also have lifelong friends from that and found the support and the warmth just a wonderful thing. I had never experienced that before as part of a community.
So we talked a lot about building community, and we also talked a lot about all four of us and people in general. We all have really different temperaments and levels of being, considering ourselves extroverted or introverted or joiners or socially phobic, and we know that that plays a big role in people's decision to even try to join something new, right? Am I going to sound stupid? Am I going to be wanted? Am I going to offer anything of substance? And so we talked a lot about that, and somehow when we are dealing with problems in life and we feel really lonely, our tendency is to isolate even more because we don't want to be a burden or we don't want to be a downer, and I already feel awkward, so I'm not going to go. And then that just kind of festers into something that, you know, as adults and people, we all go through. And so with that in mind, how does... kind of two-part question to finish out this discussion, and we realized we could talk forever on Tuesday, on Wednesday, but how does connecting to and with others enhance your spiritual practice? So in that connection, how is that an expression of your spirituality and humanity? And then what would you recommend to somebody who's considering coming to something for the first time and who also, you know, may not think that they're a worthwhile addition to something? What would you tell that person?
You know, I think one of the hardest things when you come to a new church, when you come to a new faith, is getting to know people, getting to know who they are and what they like. And if you don't participate in something other than Sunday morning, you really don't get to know that many people. And we were saying in our little gathering that just in this little small group that we formed Wednesday, that I got to know these folks so much better. And I would not have done that if we hadn't met, got together, had a conversation. And that's very important to us. We needed community when we came here. And as we've said in our Unitarian Universalist guidelines, that it's our own search, and it's a free search for meaning and understanding. But we've also got these people around us that we can ask questions of, and that will help us find our way to our own theology, like Annette was saying.
Well, you know, not for so many years not being part of a church, my wife and I, or me particularly, I felt, you know, pretty isolated. I think, Marie, you touched upon that. And was actually a little bit afraid to discuss my feelings about politics and religion and, you know, things that were concerning me with the people around me, the people that I work with, the people that live in my neighborhood. I just basically didn't have those kinds of conversations. And since we've been coming to Human, I feel like I could go up to somebody that I don't even really know that well and have a discussion about something unusual, you know, and they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't tell me to get lost. They would listen to me and they would understand and say, oh, okay, I see where you're coming from. Yeah. So it's that acceptance and open-mindedness is very, very important for us.
For me, being an introvert, joining small groups is the best way to get to know people. I'm not good when we go over there for coffee and there's a whole bunch of people around. I don't feel completely comfortable ever, even after all these years, but I do in the small groups. And I remember one time before I started coming to this church a long time ago, I was seeing a counselor, and she said that to be a fully functioning adult, you needed to have three things. You needed to have some kind of exercise program, whether it's just walking, some kind of physical exercise. You needed to have a spiritual life and a community life. Now, I already exercised. I was a runner back then. And I was kind of working on my spiritual life through another group I was attending. But I had never in my life had a community life. And it was something I had shied away from, being an introvert. I just didn't join groups. So it was a challenge, but becoming part of this community has totally changed my life. It's a wonderful feeling to walk in here. And I remember years back when my son was a teenager and he was heavily involved in drugs, and it was just a nightmare. And I remember many times lighting candles and crying. And I remember one time in particular, I went up and lit a candle and I was so upset and I was crying. And when I sat down, two women who were friends of mine just gently put a hand on my shoulder, and it felt like a warm blanket being laid on top of me. And I never forgot that feeling. It makes me cry now to think about it.
Definitely. So to finish this up and round this out, I've sobbed up here a few times, where looking for just warmth and just somebody to help you carry those things that hurt so much that you don't think you can carry on your own, and to have somebody come literally move and sit and put their arm around me while I quietly composed myself meant everything. And I think that looking for spirituality and connection, we invite you to kind of think about connecting with others and with each other, and that is the safest form of, I think, spiritual expression and doing no harm and just in connecting and sharing. So we thank you for listening, and I thank Brian for the opportunity to stand up here or sit and talk with all of you, and look forward to building more community together. Thank you.
Thank you all. Please help me thank them. So you've met Annette Pate, who is in charge of our art class. I'm going to mention several other programs of the... Please, go ahead. I'm going to mention several other programs of our congregation, many of which are described in the larger insert that's in your order of worship. And as I mention each group, I'd ask the leader of that program to stand. If you're interested in joining any of these programs, these are the people you want to talk to at coffee hour after worship. If I mention a group that you're interested in and their leader isn't here, then come talk to me after worship. I'll put my membership team hat on, and I will make sure the program coordinator gets in touch with you. So Linda talked about the Circle of Women, which is now led by Lynn May. Thank you, Lynn. Great. And the Mindfulness Meditation Group that meets on Saturday afternoons in Discovery Hall, is led by Kevin King. He's actually in there right now teaching RE, but he will be in Discovery Hall after worship, and I can connect you up with him. Our Centering Meditation Group, and there...
I'm not sure about
it. Okay. I know I saw her. Right. She also, so the Centering Group meets on Saturday mornings in Discovery Hall. She also leads our Soul Gazing Circle that meets on Tuesday evenings. The Saturday Evening Mutuality Circle, I don't see. There is Ken Fry. The Sunday Morning Adult Enrichment Group that Brad is a part of, is Pat here? There's Pat Shea. Thanks. Daytimers is a topical discussion group that meets on Wednesday afternoons, is led by Dan Ben-David. Thanks, Dan. The Gardening Group is led by Claire Sullivan. This isn't on your list, but Landscape Maintenance, where's Mike? There's Mike, if you're interested in helping out with landscape maintenance. It's not on the list, it's in my script here. Several Saturday mornings throughout the year, we keep the mile-long stretch of Crabapple Road clean and tidy. Pat Lampert leads that, but he's not here today, so if you can talk with Bruce Langston about that. Thanks, Bruce.
I volunteered to take over the Crabapple Road cleanup for Pat.
Super.
So,
excellent.
We need support from all you tree climbers.
That's great. The Men's Fellowship and Service Group is led by Bob Pop. I didn't see Bob today. On the fourth Tuesday of each month, a group gets together to make all-natural laundry detergent to distribute to families in crisis, and Susan Wilson leads that.
Susan is not here, but he's
accepting for Susan Wilson. The Chalice Choir is led by our music director, Alex Peach. The Family Choir is led by Lori Wheeler, who I didn't see today. But you can probably talk a little bit. Well, Spark here?
In the event, I was in the technical speaker today, mm-hmm. So in the event that I visit here, there's also some choir members that I'm trying to hire.
Great, thanks. The Human Band is led by Dirk Bender. Thank you, Dirk. That's what it says here. It's true. Our Friday evening movement group, Soul to Soul, is led by, I think, Donna. Yeah, Donna Melcher. Is Marjorie here? Marjorie's not here either. Okay. Well, no, Donna I know is in South Dakota. Is Marjorie here? No.
Marjorie's not here. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you're interested in Soul to Soul, you can come talk to me and I'll make sure that Donna gets in touch with you when she gets back. Our monthly coffee house is led by Janet Lacey, who I saw over there. Thank you, Janet. Our bi-monthly Thursday craft group is led by Sue Greenspan. I didn't see Sue today. The board gamers group is led by Shelley Negrani.
She's downstairs
at RE. The Geezer Golf Group, I did see Marlon Benarian right there. Thank you, Marlon. Lunch Ministry is coordinated by Jim Saunders. There he is. That's Jim right there. And Artist Way is it's a creativity group that it's currently looking for a new leader, but Mary McGrath can talk to you about it. So please join me in expressing gratitude to all these program leaders for the hard work that they put in for all of us. Thanks. Offering opportunities for lifelong learning and spiritual growth such as these takes the time and talent of all these program leaders and a whole bunch of other people. It also takes a little funding. The morning offering will now be gratefully received.